There is one way that this all sticks. They don't look well coached, do they?
No. No, they do not.
It looks like all the people they hired has backfired, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Who ordered that code red? Who ordered that code red? I'll go around the room. Owen, throw your lot in here. Who made the decision? I got a theory. It's flimsy, but I got a theory. There's one way, because there are some people who are going, Ken, you're just mad. I'm like, no, I'm not trying to fire people because I'm mad. I don't even want to fire people. I want to tell people how I would make my decision knowing how this goes. I'm not doing this out of anger. I'm doing this I sound mad. I know that, but I think I'm going to be even madder on Friday. Like Friday, I might lose my voice. So I know cognizantly I am not mad right now. I just sound that way because I'm an emotional person. I need to make this decision for the best of my franchise. But, you know, I'm an outsider. I don't have all the information. So there is a theory that I'm bopping around here and there, right? So the changes that they made haven't been good. Now, Bill Callahan left on his own volition. He went down to coach with his son, and I can respect that. But it's always who do you replace him with? And the offensive line has been terrible. Jed Wills, you know what? God bless him. You can't make him play. You can't make him do it. He has proven that. So you got that going against you. The theory that I would have, because there are people who are going, well, let's see this thing through here. Okay. The only way I think that this stays is with these coaching changes, if this was a decision that they knew that they were talked into and backfired. Well, who made that decision? I still don't know. Did the owner step in and make that decision about the coaching staff? I don't think he would he? I don't know, or I just don't like these guys. Goodbye.
I think that's a two-part question.
You got to get rid of these guys. You made the playoffs. I want these coaches gone. Okay, Owen?
That's got to be a two-part question, though.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, there is... It's not so much of the getting rid of or of bringing in new guys. They got rid of guys first. It's Callahan's the only one that left on his own.
Yeah.
Who got rid of those guys?
Who made the change of that coaching staff? Who decided that they were going to get rid of them? What, I don't think it would have been the owner. The owner just got tired of not firing people, so decided to fire a bunch of assistants. I don't think he would have done that. I've thrown this out to you, and you've never rebuffed it. I want to hear you rebuff it. Where I said, what if Alex Van Pelt just told him the truth that they didn't want to hear about the quarterback? What if that's the case? You have never once, Anthony, as I've thrown that out, and this is a theory. This is not, I don't have anybody telling me this. You have never once rebuffed me on this and said, nah, that's not the truth. If you tell me it's not the truth, I'll shut up right now. We'll move on. If you know for a fact that's not the truth, but you never have, because you know people who have talked and believe that Kevin Stefanski was not wanting to fire Alex Van Pelt. This was a decision around him. All right. Well, then there's another theory. I mean, let me go to the website here. I just want to make sure, because I did some looking around yesterday. I did some snooping around. I've been saving this all day because I want to make sure and all night. I can't find nothing. I mean, when they first signed the quarterback, they put him all over the place. It took a minute, and then once they put him all over the place. Front and center on the app. I can't find hiding their hair of him right now. Can't find nothing. Do you think that was his people, his team, quote unquote, that didn't like the whole Van Pelt, so-and-so, so-and-so, all of a sudden this all happens? I'm just asking. They didn't like the offense. They wanted a guy who has worked with that type of offense before. Ken Dorsey has done that because it's been bandied about several times. Like they didn't really interview a whole lot of people. I mean, I know they have the offensive line coach who they gave an interview to for an OC, but really they think that this was arranged. Or am I talking out of my ass? If you think I'm talking out of my ass, I'll be quiet. But I'm thinking it's the only way that we reach the end of this season at 2-15, more than likely, because I can't find another win on that schedule. It's the only way we get to 2-15 and everybody stays where they're at. Because I can't imagine that this thing goes from here to not any better and nobody is gone. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine it. With guys jogging around after a bye week, I can't imagine it. With guys dancing after pass breakups on second down and still giving up touchdowns 40 yards later, I can't imagine it. It's the only foreseeable way, I think, is where they've decided, because you remember, Kevin Stefanski would not comment on 2025 for the quarterback. He would not do that for Deshaun Watson. And so do you think that there was some sort of a, well, you know, we can't have Joe Flacco back because we all told you that wasn't going to happen. Not that we agreed with it, but we told you it wasn't going to happen because he can't, he, you know, people are wearing number 15 jerseys. You can't have him stand there and get booed because he got booed during games last year, even in games that they won. So you weren't going to bring him back that everybody likes him. They were chanting for DTR the day before he got hurt. So, I mean, that was even as worse than what anybody could see. Do you think that over the season they went, nah, we got to make a change here in the offense? Because it just doesn't, why would you make change? Like, you lose guys on playoff teams, they go to other organizations because they get higher positions. Technically, Alex got a higher position with the New England Patriots because he's calling plays, if I'm not mistaken. Is he not calling plays, I think, with the Patriots? So you have these guys who you lose, but it doesn't make any sense. Why would you fire guys on a staff that you made the playoffs with? So I'm just trying to piece together pieces. And guys, this is all speculative.
I guess I'm asking, why are you thinking about that today? Why is that at the top of your mind today?
Because I can only think big picture. What is at the top of my mind? Like the quarterback situation? Or I'm thinking of a reason why they would have fired people. And I'm thinking of reasons why they would keep their job.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to figure out reasons why they know and I don't, and why all this conversation is worthless.
If Jameis, if there would have been a continuation of the Baltimore game, right? Jameis comes in, the offense looks totally different. By the way, yesterday, again, the offense looked totally different than when the previous quarterback
was starting.
Yeah,
we're 11 weeks in. We don't even know what offense we're trying to run.
But it is night and day. Like, it is night and day. Say what you want about Jameis and his faults and his issues and the limitations that are there. Like, clearly the biggest problem was still the quarterback. Like, mm-hmm. they're losing games either way, but you had a prehistoric offense with mm-hmm. that other quarterback. Like, that was your biggest problem, but it wasn't your only problem, as you're finding out. Like, you have
which
a
other
slew
quarterback?
Of other problems.
Talking Watson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Look at the numbers. Like,
I'm just making sure.
Watson is incapable of putting together the Baltimore game, what we just saw out of Jameis Winston, and that was not just a half.
He's incapable of putting together what he turned in yesterday. Right. They lost by 21. He ain't throwing for 395.
Yeah. So, but also what's been exposed is there's a bigger problem. And again, when you trade Amari Cooper and you trade Za'Darius Smith, the writing's on the wall for the veterans. And one thing we know about this league, like, this is the risk in building an older team, a lot of rent-a-players, a lot of missionaries. What happens?
Mercenaries.
I'm sorry, not missionaries. Mercenaries. That's what happens in a situation like this. Like, these guys are going to quit. There's nothing to play for. The season's over. And you saw Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett, it's almost like, what does he want to be out there for the rest of the year? What's the point of that? Like,
I have a clip of him at 9:20. People need to hear.
Especially with him when he was limping a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be hard on him. He's like the best Cleveland Brown of my lifetime.
But you remember that game against Miami a few years ago where it looked like Miles had enough.
He has games where he just decides.
I think he's had a game where he's decided that this ain't worth my while. More on Miles coming up at 9:20. There's a quote that he has that you guys got to hear. That's coming up in less than 20 minutes.
So that's what I'm getting at. It's like, this is the risk when you have these older, when you're an expensive team, an older team, guys start getting dealt.
Yeah.
And even though I thought they were going to trade more at the deadline, these guys are looking for reasons. Remember, this was a tie game in the third quarter. And you're feeling a little bit of juice. Like your quarterback is on one. He is hitting guys. Jerry Jeudy, finally.
Can't hit a field goal, but the quarterback's doing things.
Right, right. So it just takes a little bit for that to go south in a hurry. And you saw it yesterday. And so it exposes the other bigger problems. And you're starting to look, where are my cornerstone pieces to build around? What you're soon to be, supposed to be your future left tackle, second straight year that he's had a season ender.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, can you plan on that guy being a part of it?
He's such a good kid. I feel terrible about that.
I thought Conklin was great yesterday. And I thought they were giving Jameis a pocket yesterday, but he's not a part of your future. Wyatt Teller's not a part of your future. Batonio's not a part of your future. So as these cornerstone pieces, they go away one by one. Nick Chubb, probably not a part of your future. Like, you start to think about how big of a task this is going to be. And you have a defense that looks broken, that your scheme has been totally totally planned against. I mean, these teams have scouted you. They know misdirection. I mean, the first 20 plays, they were doing whatever they wanted. It was lucky Denzel Ward got in and forced the fumble. Yeah. Lucky that you got the interception, because everything else they did, they were shredding you.
Yeah. I'm trying to put something together where it's like, what do they know that I don't, and what would keep them all employed? What would keep them all employed? Because I can't just go back. I can't have continuity for continuity's sake. That's not going to happen. That's not going to
maybe do. DTR starts the rest of the year and looks like one of the bright, promising, like a Bo Nix, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Okay.
If DTR.
I'll listen to that.
If DTR could look like that.
Well, then that means they'd have to win a couple of games.
Yes. And you wouldn't want to stunt any of that by going, hey, DTR and Stefanski, look at what they're building, and now we're firing Stefanski. Like, you wouldn't do that.
Steelers twice, Bengals, Chiefs, Broncos on the road, Fish at home. Man, that may be the last chance.
And again, I'm not saying DTR is going to do that.
No.
Because he has not proven any of that to
me.
But
what you're saying is true. But again, going back to it, if there's no change that's made, or if there's no change that's even planned, then that would lead me to believe, okay, you go back to last year. Hey, this season was great, but the quarterback we are beholden to. We have a huge contract that's left. At that time, we were still trying to figure it out. Like, how do we make this thing click with Deshaun Watson? So if you would have asked me last January, it's like, all right, if he needs this, then we'll give him that. If he needs that, then we'll give him this. Like, we were still doing that. They went out, they made another trade. They signed a guy for him. They were willing to do these things for him. Then you had Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, certainly, in the bye week press conference, where he did not mention him. Like, really, in 2025. There's no really about it. He did not talk about 2025 with Deshaun Watson. We care about the person. You care about all people. You're not a psycho. Yeah, we care about the rehab. Everybody cares about the rehab. He didn't say anything like that. And we went back and listened to the audio. But from 2023 to 2024, it was much different. And so, did him or his people or whatever, did they lead you astray? And so you're washing your hands, and is that something that you could sell the ownership on, going, hey, we made this decision, it didn't work, now it's backfired, we have the right people in place to make these decisions. For better or for worse, guys, you might hate hearing that. I'm trying to find a way that the season would probably end at 2-15. I can't find another win on this schedule. That the season would end at 2-15, and people would say, hey, you know what, we're keeping Kevin Stefanski, we're keeping Andrew Berry, we're going to run this thing back at least one more time. I'm trying to find a scenario where it works. That's the only thing I can think of. And I've thought about it for the last couple of days, and now I bring it to you. You don't seem to be believing of it, but that's what I'm thinking.
I'm just thinking that Jimmy Haslam's Jimmy Haslam, and it's not just Jimmy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Owners want to get fans excited about their football teams.
Yeah.
Normally, that's with rookies, quarterbacks, young players, or the big splash. They tried the big splash, quarterback didn't work, and it's failed with flying colors. So then what's next? Well, what about a new coach? I mean, you know how these owners are, especially as downtrodden as the fan base. I mean, yesterday's is apathetic.
That's why.
As I've seen him since 2016.
And that's why, guys, I hope you watch a lot of college football on Saturday. I think Miami had the day off, but I hope you watch a lot of college football on Saturday. Jalen Milroe looked good against Mercer. Go get Cam Ward.
Fire up that Jalen Milroe stuff again.
Go get Cam Ward. Things are going so poorly right now, we're wondering about our football mortality. A Browns legend is, I think, maybe having an existential crisis. You'll hear that audio here in just a moment. First, start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Afternoon Drive's Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin, broadcasting live this Thursday from 2 to 7 at Fairview Tavern in Fairview Park. Wonderful establishment. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Here's Myles Garrett. This is yesterday after another loss.
Legacy. I play this game to be the very best there is. And I expect everyone else to play it because they love it. Play it because they want to be remembered for something. Whether they're 2-8, whether they're 8-2. You know, this will be remembered for years to come. You know, there will be film. People will speak about you. And you know, you'll have to look yourself in the mirror. Your effort and what you put on tape is going to decide what's going to happen for your career and for the years to come. And when I set foot out there, I expect to do the very best job I possibly can. And I expect that of everyone else who's out there with me.
What did you think of that?
I'm thinking a lot about Myles Garrett. In a weird way, it's one of the few things I'm thinking of left before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because we all saw yesterday, and the fact that the broadcast made mention of, well, it's a very quiet day for Myles Garrett. And then the defense gets humiliated the way they did. Really, it was the first quarter, the second quarter, and the fourth quarter. Third quarter, they were fine. After that, it was embarrassing. It really was. And to have Taysom Hill, of all guys, especially when that's all you talked about for a week, you had the time off because of the bye week. Myles is who I'm nervous about because you feel like you want Myles to be a part of whatever championship window they have. And if he is looking like he looked yesterday, it is really rough to start to think about where the solutions start to come from.
There's no championship window. And I don't think the championship window, as of right now, is going to be within his time frame. Is it not? When do you think that we're close to winning a championship?
Right.
The guy we're going to win a championship with is not in professional football right now. The quarterback that we'll need is not playing on Sundays. Hell, for all we know, he's still in high school. I mean, I don't know.
So if that's the case, you trade him then,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Well, you would ask him if he would be willing to accept a trade this offseason. Yeah, you certainly do.
The guy I saw yesterday seems like he'd be just fine. And I know he's entrenched here. He has the partial ownership with the Cavs. I know he's very involved. He is a fan favorite.
This is
the stuff you talk about when things go off the rails.
This is Joe all over again. Can't believe we're doing this. It's not your fault. I'm not blaming you. As much as it changes, it just stays the same. It's to have all these different general managers and all these different team presidents come in here and reinvent the wheel the way that they see it, and we're still talking. See, this is what's so damn frustrating about it, and I'm going to try not to cuss, because how many different guys have come in here with bravado and have said that they are going to change the way that football is seen in the NFL within the Cleveland Browns, and here we are still having you. This is what makes it bad. This is why, like, I like the Browns. I love the fans, and you should love the fans as well. Not you, I mean everybody. Because you're the ones left holding the bag. You're the general managers who will never be fired. You're the ones who have to clean up the mess of all of it. You're the ones who have to pay the money to go into the stadium. You're the ones that have to give your time, whatever that may be, to do it. And that's why we had that conversation on the podcast last Tuesday about, well, do we really need to care about players' life? You don't need to care about anything you don't care about. But you do choose to care about the Browns. And here we are, less than a decade later, having the same conversation about a legendary football player. Except at least this guy went to the playoffs. The other guy never went. And we're at, well, you know, should we trade him for his own good? I mean, we're talking about getting rid of a guy for their own good. Like, we're putting dogs to sleep here. I mean, for the love of God. Meanwhile, we got different general managers in different places. Some are in football still. Some are out of football. Some are hosting their own podcast, talking trash about other general managers that still have a job. Meanwhile, you're left holding the bag with the bad memories, trying to compare, and this is the worst, is we make our plans to the future because we all have the PTSD of the previous seasons. You make the plans of the future based on what you've already seen. So these guys may be the best of what you already had, but since your bar is so low, that's really not an accomplishment. And so we're over here talking about Miles. Well, you know, he's still on the Browns, and he's still on the Cavs, and he still has a house here. And boy, if we can get a first round pick back, and we could do right by Miles, it's the same conversation we had about Joe. The same one. You know, they all get paid to go away, and they can all sit there and tell you, "Well, you guys don't know what it's like. You guys don't know what the struggle is. You guys can turn off the TV. It doesn't matter." It doesn't mean you get paid the money to stay or go or to make this thing work out or so we can find somebody else. 216-474-0092. Boy, that's terrifying audio. As much as we try to change things, it always has the same outcome. Mike in Streetsboro, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
You know what? I still wouldn't fire Stefanski. he was put in this position, and you know, he's had to deal with this horrible quarterback play, and I don't think he is the problem. Not everybody else, they're Dave, not him.
So everybody else is the problem except for Stefanski?
I believe so, because I think, you know, Andrew Berry was the one who wanted that bum Watson, and he put us in the hole so bad.
Yeah, but at the same time, Mike, I mean, Kevin was on the plane too. No, I don't know why I'm talking like this, but Kevin was on the plane too.
I know, man, but Kevin Stefanski's a good coach, and he has been dealt a bad hand. A very bad hand.
He might, listen, I'm not going to say that all of a sudden he's a garbage coach. I think a lot of people want to say that, Mike. I mean, I was willing to say 2 weeks ago he's a good coach, so who am I? I'm not going to sit there and say you're wrong. I don't believe you're wrong. But I do believe we are seeing a situation here, Mike, and thank you very much for the call. God, I don't want to admit this, but it could just be untenable. And I can see Kevin Stefanski doing well with another team.
Well, I've seen people,
I keep him with my situation.
I've seen people debating. Yeah, well, I mean, when it's time to move on, it's time to move on. Yeah. Like, I understand that. I've said that. I've accused callers and listeners of being idiots earlier in the year and last year for wanting to move on from Stefanski, because I do think once people get that in their head on any coach, that's it. They're never going to cave. If they're going to find ways, like if the team's winning, it's never the coach, it's then the players. Like, I understand that game. I've probably gone down that same path with certain guys before, too. Stefanski has been their best coach, without a doubt.
Yes.
And I was blown away by what they were able to accomplish last year, making that playoff run with Joe Flacco and guys off the street. But I watched yesterday Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. I watched Jim Harbaugh. The way those guys interact with their players feels like there's always going to be a buy-in. It feels like there always is. Like
John Harbaugh.
Yeah. He's another
they
one.
They lost.
I just don't know that with Kevin. I don't see players. And we've asked Rodney McLeod. We've asked other players about that, especially after he got Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Anytime we talk to anybody, they're like, no, you don't understand Kevin. But I looked at those players yesterday, and maybe it's just easy to say that because they're a losing team and they look like they're going to go on a huge, huge losing streak here that could just make this year totally, totally a disaster. But it doesn't seem like those guys have that kind of buy-in with him.
No. No. And I've never accused him of being a fiery leader that picks people's spirits up and gets them going. I think that he has shown more emotion after victories. I think he was truly inspired by their performance last year, but he's not that guy. He is not the type of person. I think he is a good manager of people, as best he can, manager of offense and the X's and O's, but I do not believe that he's the type of person that is going to get somebody to dig down deep and get more of them, to reach past the mental block to ask more of themselves in a November football game. I've never accused him of being that guy. I can say, on a witness stand, I believe he's a good coach. But this might not be the situation. And he could end up in another situation where all of a sudden he's great and we could be doing Belichick 2.0 all over again. But damn, I'm looking at this spot now, and that can't be my only argument, because he could just always be another also-ran NFL coach. So is that a reason to not make any move at the end of this year, when clearly he's not inspired by what's going on? You can hear that in the post game. He's going through the motions, and the players are going through the motions on the field. This was after a bye week. This was after your self-scout. You can't get him right on. You can't get him right on special teams. You pay the fiddler for that because you hired the special teams coordinator. At least that's what we believe. It's still on your staff. Your offense can't get it together. You gave up play calling duties. Well, nobody is going to cry a river of tears over Ken Dorsey if he's separated. The defense doesn't look good. We're dancing after plays still. And guys, you got to cut it out. It just looks terrible. Stop dancing after all these plays. I don't care. I know it's a loaf. It was a great story last year when you were 11-6. It looks terrible now. When you're dancing after a pass breakup in the corner of the end zone, and then you give up a touchdown later on in the drive, guess the first thing I'm saying if I'm Alvin Kamara? I'm finding whoever I saw dancing, and I'm yelling at him.
Well, it just comes off that they only care about themselves, that they only care about their stat sheets.
Even if they're instructed to do so, which is what Jim Schwartz says, it's a terrible look. It's a terrible look. It looks exactly how you just said it. Fans don't care about the stats. The only time we care about the stats is when we're trying to make arguments for terrible football players like we have for 20 years because we didn't want to see the truth. Well, here's the truth right in front of you. Jim in Strongsville. This will be fun. Hello.
Listen, even during the 1-31 years, there was some joy in watching these games. Not a lot, but there was some. It is a joyless experience watching this team right now. I don't know the last time I could say I literally got no joy. I felt like it was a job to sit down and watch this team. And you know what? And then I was sick, Ken, because you know what comes across my thing? Fox 8 wants to tell me about what they're going to charge for PSLs. And I'm thinking to myself, what? What? It's just too much at once. On
we're doing PSLs?
This, I'm doing this?
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to pay thousands of dollars for a PSL? To what? A great nice stadium with a team that sucks and brings me no joy. They cost me money. They're worse than my kids. At least they bring me joy.
I don't know if this is the right time to be talking about PSLs over there.
Well, right, thank you for the call. They plan on running. Fox 8 did run it yesterday. It'll be running tonight, according to their commercial.
Is this the Galax?
I believe so.
Is it both Galax?
I'm not sure. I don't know how many Galax we're getting on this.
If it's one Galax.
But they did run it during, Fox played the game yesterday, so why not play the commercial with it, you know?
Okay. If it's one Galax, that's one thing. If you're getting double Galax.
Well, you never want to get double Galax.
No. Frank in Washington. Frank, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay, Frank. Go ahead.
I think we've ran out of things to say. This team is awful. This franchise is awful. And for the most part, collectively, outside of like five guys, the players have been awful. And I just wonder if you do, sort of a temperature check around the city, how much more money are, fellow Clevelanders going to be spending on season tickets for this crap? And why do it when you have a great product down the street, two great products down the street? That's what I'm left thinking here. It's like, since 1999, the Guardians have made the postseason 50% of the time. The Cavaliers, for the most part, have given, people like me, I'm 31 years old, a lot of joy. I've only known LeBron and Donovan Mitchell, and it's been pretty great. I've had a pretty good time with it. I've seen nothing besides awful Browns play. And, my dad's even worse, and my grandpa's even worse. And it's like, so why do we continue to keep spending to fund these bums? And it all starts with the owner, who's a crook. It never should have been allowed to buy the team. They never looked at it thoroughly enough and realized.
Well, Frank, I can't go calling people that. And I wouldn't say that about the other owners, okay? As far as you spending your money on the team, and the people spending their money on the teams, this is point in case why, and thank you very much for the call, Frank. This is case in point why you're going to draft a quarterback. And you'll more than likely make a head coaching change. Because this is as apathetic as I found the franchise. This is not as apathetic as 0-16. They were really apathetic during 0-16. But this is as apathetic as this is the two times I've seen it this apathetic. The problem is you had boatloads of cap space and a lot of things to look forward to. Right now, you don't have any of that. Hell, the Juan Thornhill thing is a dead cap hit for $12.5 million next year. So you don't have any of that. So the outlook is even bleaker. And so that's why, you're gonna go after somebody. You'll go after Ward or Milroe or Shador Sanders, which will be a totally other conversation, considering his father said he's going to definitely get involved if the wrong team picks his son. Which, by the way, they're 8-2 and kicking ass.
Unbelievable.
Credit where it's due, man. Good job. He's done a hell of a job over there. We got to do it a little bit different today because we have Mitch, please. But Mitch has a problem, you see. Mitch has lost his voice. He was sick over the weekend, real sick over the weekend. He says he's over it, but his voice is gone.
This reminds me of the Browns losing Jed Wills.
So here is, except he wants to work. He's here. Here's Mitch, please, but is this with AI? Here's AI Mitch.
All right, guys. Today we have sound from Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce on The Ticket and The Truth podcast. The Hall of Fame duo debating whether Dean Wade of the Cavaliers can have the same nickname as another Hall of Famer.
D. Wade and LeVert, they ain't.
Stop right
there. I'm talking about the help.
I understand, but he can't be called D. Wade. We already went over
his name, D. Wade?
No, what's his first name?
D.
No, his first name. What's his
last
first name?
D.
What's his first name?
Man, D-Wade in Miami.
Dean?
Dean.
Thank okay, you. So Dean.
So his Wade. Name is D-Wade. His friends call him D-Wade.
It's only one D-Wade.
Oh, man,
bro.
You don't even like nothing in Miami. What you talking about?
But it's still only one D-Wade.
D-Wade don't own all the D-Wade. There's a D-Wade out there that's...
Nah, it's all... Dean Wade, he said Dean.
God. I'm not calling him Dean.
I'm going to call him Dean W. Dean W. Man.
I thought Kevin Garnett was good in Righteous Gemstone. No, Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems. Yeah,
totally
yeah.
different.
Yeah, he should totally be in that one show. Different. Totally different show. He should be in Righteous Gemstones. I thought he was great in Uncut Gems. So we calling him Dean W?
Right, it is a hard...
I like Dean W.
I get it. When somebody is that...
If you said D-Wade, I would think Dwayne Wade,
right.
who also played for the Cavaliers.
Cup of coffee.
We're letting a guy be John Kennedy and... in political office now. Why can't we?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, you kind of know if a John Kennedy is in office, it's not going to be the one
that,
John
Tim?
Kennedy. Well, because the other one was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Okay. We're coming up on the anniversary.
Well, one of them was recently assassinated in sculpture.
That was not a good look. Not a good look. But no, you got to call him Dean Wade or call him Dean W. You can't if you call him Dean D Wade, they're going to think you're talking about Dean or about Dwayne Wade.
But even Dean Wade sounds like D Wade.
It
so
does.
Dean W might be the only way.
Now I can't say it right because of them bickering about it. So now I don't know how to say Dean Wade.
Is he okay?
There we go.
I want to know, is he okay? And is Darius Garland okay? Because they both were a little bruised yesterday. From that game. I need everybody all hands on deck for Tuesday.
He was in a walking boot yesterday.
Oh, boy.
They said preventative measures.
Yeah. Well, if he was in a walking boot yesterday, he's probably not playing tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
But
we'll have Dan Shaughnessy in tomorrow.
Yeah, this will be fun. I want to see.
Or on. He will be on.
I want to gauge how seriously Celtics are starting to take us because I'm noticing more conversations are popping up. And some Celtics fans are like, guys, Cavs are good. Like, we need Porzingis back. They are really, really good. And you're starting to get all the credit. I know Windhorst just had a piece that went live over on ESPN, and it was kind of behind the scenes on what the things the Cavs are doing. And it's all very interesting, and I think a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last night, no Donovan Mitchell, so Ty Jerome steps up, and you didn't really miss Donovan Mitchell yesterday. That's how unbelievably well these guys are playing, and it doesn't seem to matter who's in the lineup. It doesn't seem to matter when they go to the bench. They are all playing. This is incredible synergy. And for a new coach to come over and want to tackle the offense like this, there's supposed to be a learning curve. There's supposed to be a ramp up. These guys got it from moment one.
Yeah, they did.
Pretty damn impressive.
They did. Well, they ran it back, and that's what you get. Hopefully they'll be okay, and Dean Wade will be okay, because now I'm a little bit worried about Dean W. I am a little bit worried about that. However... they play Boston tomorrow in Boston. We will have the great Dan Shaughnessy on from ESPN, from the Boston Globe. And yes, when you listen to context, it comes off different. I know that when I say the great Dan Shaughnessy, some people are going to get upset about that. Dan, at sometimes, yes, has made me upset with his written words, but has been very nice to us. And we're looking forward to Dan Shaughnessy tomorrow to share the perspective and see whether or not they take us very seriously over there.
And not that I need them to take whatever. The players will take you seriously.
I'd rather them not take us seriously.
I think the Celtics players are going to take it seriously because they're going to want to end that streak.
Well,
I
want a chip on our shoulder. It's not about like I don't want to fly under the radar. I don't care about that. I want a chip on our shoulder. So if they don't take us seriously, that's good. Because if you go out there and you blast them tomorrow night, then you're going to be feeling even better.
Also, the Cavs frog, we have been corrected. The Cavs frog.
Yes.
Is indeed a female frog.
Wait, is it a female frog or is the person inside of it a female?
It's according to WKYC has a story up.
Because people call Zippy a guy and Zippy is a girl.
Is a girl. One of only five, I think, in the country.
She has a pouch. There's four others?
Yeah.
Remember, when they have a pouch, it's a female.
Mrs. Met.
Mrs. Met counts? I mean, I thought he meant like college sports.
Not many of them.
The little girl slider.
You ever take a good look at Mrs. Met?
No. Should I?
Very curvaceous.
Oh,
Mrs.
Whoa,
Met.
Whoa, here we go.
All right, guys.
Mr. Met's doing well.
Thanks for dropping in.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
BBM. Yeah. Big, beautiful
All right, guys.
Great contribution, by the way, today.
Awesome, Mitch. Awesome. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. For Big Country, for Jeff, for Mitch, for the Slippery Wizard, Anthony Lima, I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go Cavs!
Go Cavs, yes, go Cavs.
Go Cavs!